Now again, we're glad to see everyone who's joined us for the gospel, and we trust that you'll be blessed for coming. I want to read tonight in Matthew's gospel and chapter 8. Matthew's gospel and chapter 8 and verse number 23. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Luke's Gospel this time in chapter 19. Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. And if we look down the chapter, chapter 18 and verse 9, chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Finally, in chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse number 39, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now that's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. We have read tonight a variety of scriptures, and I know that they are all very different in themselves, but there is a little thread in each one of them that would draw these passages together in our minds. Because in all of them, there is really prayer. In the very first one, there is prayer in the tempest. When the disciples woke the Lord and they said, Lord, save us, we perish. And then we have got prayer in the temple, the two men that went up to the temple to pray. And that publican that prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we have got prayer on the tree. That thief that cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. I want you to think about that just very simply this evening. You know, Matthew chapter 8 is one of those great chapters in our Bible and in the New Testament where we see something of the power of the Lord Jesus. You know, tonight as we present him in the gospel, there is one thing that we are assured of, that the one that we preach, he's got the power. And he's got the power to save and the power to deliver. If you were to read the whole of Matthew chapter 8, where we read from, you would discover that right at the beginning of the chapter, you have his power over defilement. The leper that came, and the Lord that touched him, and cleansed him of his leprosy. And the Lord could not be defiled. You know, to touch a leper, according to the law, you would be defiled. But, you know, the Lord could touch the leper, and he was not defiled. And the leper could not remain a leper. His power over defilement. If you read further on, it's an amazing story when that centurion man came to the Lord. And he said, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And the Lord Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And what did he say? The centurion man said, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know what the Bible says? In the very self-same hour, he was healed. His power over distance. He wasn't there, but he healed him just the same. The wonder of that in itself. You've got his power again in that the Bible speaks about Peter's wife's mother that lay sick of a great fever. The Bible says that he touched her hand and the fever left her. His power over disease. You've got his power over the disciples. The man that said he would follow. And the Lord Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but follow thou me. And where we have read tonight, you've got his power over the deep, the sea, the storm. And it finishes with his power over the demons when he could command them to go. He's got the power tonight. You know, we live in a world where men invariably seek for power. And that's been the way down through the generations. Power. And it comes into every strata of life and society. All types of power. But there's one tonight who's got all power. You know, the Lord Jesus could say, after he rose again, he could say, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Tonight in this meeting, if as yet you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your very own, I want you to know tonight that the man that we preach, he's got the power. He's got the power to save. And he's got the power to save you. Now, just come to this story very briefly. As they got into that boat and went across the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord went down into the hinder part of that ship, and the Bible says how that he was asleep. And then there was a great tempest that rose, suddenly came. And the disciples, there they were in that boat, and they were gripped with fear. Now, of course, they knew all about storms. They'd been on that lake, on that Sea of Galilee many, many times. That was their livelihood for the most of them. They had seen storms before, but they had never seen anything like this before. It's an amazing contrast. There's a storm on the sea. And at the same time, the Lord is asleep. And then at the same time, the disciples are afraid. What a contrast. A storm, asleep, afraid, all happening at the same time. The Lord, the Bible says that he was asleep. You know, it's very interesting that that's the only time that we read about the Lord sleeping. Of course, we know that the Lord slept. But it's the only time that we actually read about the Lord sleeping. And he was sleeping in the storm. The Old Testament says that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But the wonder is, you see, that the Lord Jesus was truly man. The one who slept in the boat. I often think, you know, it was not only a miracle here that he calmed the storm, but it was a miracle that he was calm in the storm, that he was able to sleep in that storm. And the disciples came to him, and they awoke him. And this is what they said, "Lord, save us. We perish." You know, what do they mean by that? Now, I'm going to apply it tonight in the gospel. But, you know, they really believed that the storm was so great that they were going to perish, that they were going to go down, that they were going to drown, that that boat was going to sink. You know, tonight, the only way that boat couldn't go was down. Do you know why? We read in another gospel, the Lord had said to them, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." And it wouldn't have mattered, you know, if that storm could have been 10 times greater than it was. There was one thing that was sure, that that boat was going to the other side because the Lord said it. We often say, you know, that you cannot sink the boat that the Lord is in. And the great thing tonight about the gospel is this, and about salvation, that for everyone who is in Christ and knows the Lord Jesus, there is one thing sure, no matter what storms may come, we're going to the other side. That everyone who is in Christ will arrive to be with Christ forever. And so they awoke him out of his sleep. "Lord, save us, we perish." What a statement. What a prayer. Prayer in the tempest. If we were just to think of that very simple prayer tonight, how fitting it is for everyone tonight that needs a Savior. "Lord, save me, or I'll perish." You know, tonight, perishing souls need a Savior. And the great truth of the gospel is, and we have tried to stress it in nights past, that you don't have to perish. You don't need to perish. There's a Savior for you. You know the Lord Jesus? He rose and he stood up on that boat. And we read in another gospel that records this. He spoke to the winds and the waves. And he said, "Peace be still." The Bible says there was a great calm. Instantaneously, there was a great calm. The Bible says a great tempest. But when he spoke, there was a great calm. It's quite a word, that, really. Peace be still. You know, I sometimes give a very simple illustration. At times, you know, in the north of Ireland, in visitation, especially in a farming district, and of course, the farms are nothing like what you have here. You know that. We have only got postage stamps in comparison. But you know, many times I've driven into a farmyard in visitation, and suddenly there's a big dog, a big collie dog, comes out to meet you. And he's barking his head off at you. And you know, the hair's up on his back. And you've got a feeling that he doesn't like you. And you wonder to yourself, Should I stay in the car or should I get out? And you stay in. And then, you know, he's barking and barking away. And after a minute or two, the farmer who has heard the commotion, he comes round the house and he just says, "Lie down." And you know, the hair goes down on its back and its head goes down and it runs away and it just lies against the gable of the house. You know, that's the very same word that the Lord used. He said to the winds and the waves, "Lie down." And they just lay down. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. In a moment, the sea became as glass. I've preached up on Peterhead a few times in the northeast coast of Scotland. There's a lot of fishermen there. There used to be a lot more. But you know, if you were talking to fishermen and they could tell you about some great storms that they've been in, they would tell you this, that once a storm has reached its peak, it takes it quite a while to calm down. It maybe takes hours in the North Sea before the sea calms. When the Lord Jesus calmed the storm, he did it like that. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Lie down. It was amazing, wasn't it? Lord, save us, we perish.
Oh, tonight. You know, in this meeting, if you're not saved, the Bible says you're perishing. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish or are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved and are being saved, it's the power of God. Way back in Israel, in the feast of first fruits, they repeated those words, "A Syrian ready to perish was my father." Ah, tonight, that's a solemn thought. Ready to perish. The Lord Jesus said in the New Testament, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But John 3:16, or John 10, rather, the words of the Lord Jesus, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Ready to perish. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But I'm glad tonight that there's a never perish. But you know, it's a very solemn thing that the Bible says in the little book of Jude, "Woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Do you know what that tells me? It tells me this tonight, that there are those who have already perished. That when we speak about these things, they are just not preachers' phraseology. They are just not something, as it were, that we say, that have really no foundation. The reality is tonight, our Bible makes it very clear, that there are those who have already perished. Don't be one of them. Sinner, do not perish. Lord, save us. We perish. But very briefly, to the temple. The two men that went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. "God," he says, "I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." He says, "I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess." I'll tell you, that was some news bulletin, wasn't it? He prayed with himself. And he prayed about himself. And if you read it, it was I. And then there was this publican. And he was standing afar off. And he wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, "God," he says, "be merciful to me, a sinner." That was some prayer, wasn't it? You know, if you look at it, think of it like this. A head that was bowed, he wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. A head that was bowed. Number two, a heart that was broken. He smote upon his breast. And number three, a home that was blessed. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, you know, that Pharisee, he was so proud, he was so presumptuous, and he was looking down his nose at that publican, And he just, as it were, smote everybody in sight, didn't he? He was smiting everybody. The extortioner, the unjust, the adulterer, even the publican, he was smiting everybody. You know, the publican smote the right man. He smote himself. And that's how it is tonight. And if you're going to get anywhere with God, you've got to get your eyes off everybody else and see that I'm a sinner, that I'm guilty, that I'm the one. You know, we've all heard people say sometimes, and the way they talk, that, well, I'm better than him or I'm better than her. And you know, people think, you know, that, well, I wouldn't do those things. And and they're really elevating themselves. You know, tonight, when a person comes into the presence of God, they've got to acknowledge that I'm nothing. It's only when I'm nothing that God will make me something. Top ladies, hymn, nothing in my hand I bring. Only to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Oh, this evening, just to realize that no matter about anybody else, that it's me and God, that I stand before the gaze of a holy God, and I stand guilty. You know, when a person sees and realizes that they cannot justify themselves by thinking they're better than someone else, but they realize that God is holy and God is righteous, and I stand before him with nothing in myself, nothing to commend me or recommend me to God. It's a great place to get to, you know. For when a person realizes their ruin and their sin and their guilt, there's a God of mercy. Prayer in the temple. The publican prayed, God, he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, really, it means, God, be merciful to me, on the grounds of the sacrifice. And that's where there is mercy tonight for all of us, for any of us, on the grounds of the sacrifice of Christ, on the basis of what he did upon the cross, on the foundation that he laid there at Calvary. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand, not e'en where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Someone here tonight, and you realize, I'm perishing, but there's a Savior for me. Lord, save us. We perish. That publican who cries, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He struck the right man, didn't he? You see, he was bowed in submission. He was broken in repentance. He was blessed for eternity. Broken in repentance. You know, there are many people in the world tonight, and their lives are broken and ruined because of sin, because of the consequences and the results of sin. You see, a person can sin as they like and do as they like as such, but they cannot get rid of the consequences of it. There's many lives broken, many people that are broken because of sin. But that's not what's teaching here. It's broken in repentance. Broken as a sinner. David said, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." But very briefly, before I close, there was prayer on the tree. The thief. What a scene. The thief on either side. If it wasn't for Luke and his gospel, we wouldn't know anything about this. We wouldn't know about the thief that repented. It's Luke that tells us. We talk about the dying thief, the repentant thief. And what did he say? He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," or "in thy kingdom." He said, "Lord." That was profound, you know. I'm no scholar of any type or Greek or Hebrew or anything. But I know this, that the word Lord there, it's the word that ascribes the highest title of majesty to the one who was on that cross. That thief is really saying, "Here is the one who surpasses all others. Men despise him, ridicule him, scorn him, scoff him." And the thief says, "Lord." How profound. He says, "Lord, remember me." What a plea. Remember me. Do you know what that just means tonight? It means, "Lord, don't forget about me." It just simply means, "Count me in. Entreat for me, Lord, remember me." I'm sure of this, that thief knew that night in Jerusalem there would be very few people would remember much about him. He knew that in a short time his life would be over, and they would take the bodies and throw them into Gehenna in that valley that burned with smoke. And he knew that in Jerusalem, there's nobody would really care or bother much about him. He's really saying, "Lord, if all Jerusalem forgets me, don't you forget about me. Lord, remember me." What a plea. Do you want to be in? Do you want to be counted in? Do you want to be there? Do you want to be amongst that great number As the old hymn says, when the saints go marching in. Lord, how profound. Remember me, what a plea. When thou comest in thy kingdom, what a prospect. You say, how did this thief learn so much in such a short time? Well, that's just a wonder, isn't it? You know, he actually grasped more than the disciples did. He did. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He's really saying that this man who's on that cross, that he's going to rise again, that he's going to return, he's going to reign, he's going to rule. That's something coming from a thief. The disciples at that point didn't really grasp that. But here's a man that did. That the one that's hanging on that cross, he'll rise again. He'll return. He'll rule. He'll reign. And so he will. Lord, remember me. Prayer in the tempest. Prayer in the temple. Prayer on the tree. What about your prayer tonight? Is there someone here this evening? And you'll put in your plea, just as the thief did. Lord, remember me. You say it wasn't a big, long prayer. No, it wasn't. I'll tell you how rich was the request. How real was the reply. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Somebody says he didn't deserve it. A criminal, a thief, a malefactor. And there, the Lord says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. No, he didn't deserve it. You're right there. Nor I don't either. In fact, there's none of us do. It's only his mercy, his grace, that will have any of us there. Put in your plea tonight. As the hymn writer said, I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Be a good night, wouldn't it? If you would put up your prayer from the heart, God would answer. Heaven would answer. You'll be saved tonight. Shall we pray?